In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever walked into the parish hall over here from the parking lot and been spooked by the lady who is perpetually in my back seat? Yes, that is my car, the one with the decal of the Queen on the back. Now, too bad for you, she's not here today. We have the snow-friendly car today. But the Queen travels around with me wherever I go. I think it's fair to say that I'm a big fan of the British monarchy. And that's not a terribly unpredictable thing. After all, I'm a priest in a church born out of the Church of England, of which Her Majesty is the supreme governor. However, I find it incredibly ironic that you and I are celebrating Christ the King Sunday today as members of the Protestant Episcopal Church. For you see, this feast was created very recently by Pope Pius XI in 1925. The irony isn't so much in the date the feast was instituted, but in the context in which it was born. For Pius XI served as Bishop of Rome, and from the 8th century until the year 1870, the bishops of Rome not only had a leadership role in the church, they held temporal power over territories of land of various sizes throughout the centuries. In other words, they were not only bishops, they were kings. In 1870, after decades of increasing nationalism in Italy, the new King Victor Emmanuel, after being king 9 years, annexed the last vestiges of the Papal States, and the papacy lost its earthly kingdom. The Italian king quickly took up residence in Quirinal Palace, the papal residence where many popes had been elected in conclave, and which many Roman citizens viewed as the ultimate sign of authority in the city. To give you some insight into the Pope's mindset, when asked for the keys to this palace, the Pope reportedly asked, "Whom do these thieves think they are kidding, asking for the keys to open the door? Let them knock it down if they, like Bonaparte soldiers, when they wanted to seize Pius VI, came through the window, but even they did not have the effrontery to ask for the keys." As a side note, a locksmith was later hired. This bitter sting and horror at losing his earthly temporal power certainly contributed not only to the proclamation of this feast, Christ the King, but also the proclamation of papal infallibility that occurred 1 year later. What sick and twisted irony. In today's gospel reading, Jesus, at least, appears to be more self-aware than the Pope was. He acknowledges that his kingship is not of this world. He said, "For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." Jesus is, as he says here, from another world. The church calls this the incarnation, the descent of God from the eternal realm of uncreated light into the violence, sickness, and death of this world. Jesus is indeed king of the universe, but he is unlike any earthly king. He rules over a kingdom where the king came not to be served, but to serve. In this kingdom, in order to be first, you must be last of all and servant of all. This kingdom has an entirely different value system than those of this world. The kingdom of God is the reality of the existence brought about by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in which the poor have been chosen to be rich in faith, in which the last shall be first and the first shall be last. The most important in the kingdom of heaven are the worthless rags of earth. We experience this kingdom partially now, but the powers of this world are unfortunately not yet vanquished. Our king was shamefully executed at the hands of those serving an earthly king, the Roman emperor. And yet we still proclaim our allegiance to him at this and every Eucharist. Despite the fact that the prayers and the scripture readings and the hymns today point to Christ the King, our prayer book calls today the last Sunday after Pentecost. No mention of Christ the King. Interestingly, though, there is one unique element in today's liturgical celebration. It allows for the use of what's called the proper preface, the little blurb at the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer that is used all the way through the season of Pentecost, which one would expect. But today, and today only, it gives the option of using the preface for baptism. It's the only Sunday in the year that allows for it, even when there's a baptism on a Sunday. Here's what that preface says. Because in Jesus Christ, our Lord, thou hast received us as thy sons and daughters, made us citizens of thy kingdom, and given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Why the preface for baptism on Christ the King Sunday? Because it is through our baptism that we are made citizens in God's kingdom. And it is through baptism that we first even begin to adopt the value system of this kingdom that is in utter and complete opposition to the values of this world. It is through baptism that we submit ourselves as sons and daughters to a Father who loves us without condition. It is in our baptism that we first bend the knee to a king who has no temporal power, but reigns in the hearts of the men and women who trust not in their own righteousness, but in his manifold and great mercies. In order to follow this king, we are called to deny ourselves daily and take up our cross and follow him. We are called to put others before ourselves and put God's ways before the ways of the world. Today's feast reminds us who we are and whose we are. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" Well, he certainly wasn't the sort of king the Jews were expecting, and his kingship is certainly not analogous in every way to the queen who rides around with me in Kansas City. I mean, Jesus didn't exactly have ladies in waiting who personally respond to ordination invitations from folks in Kansas. But it isn't royal pleasantries like this, or even regal religious ceremonies like the coronation, that sold me on my devotion to this earthly queen. It was her annual Christmas message. Nearly every year, beginning in 1932, the sovereign has made a broadcast to his or her subjects, and it's the only speech during the year not written by the government advisors. It was on Christmas Day in the year 2000 when I first encountered this speech online. And year after year, I listen on Christmas morning to what has become an important tradition for me. For in these speeches, an earthly monarch of a line that stretches back over 1,000 years with palaces and wealth and ladies in waiting. Such an earthly monarch reveals her allegiance to a different sort of monarch entirely. She shares her faith in Jesus Christ with billions of people. The same Jesus Christ who is King of the universe, as recognized by that old bitter Pope. The Queen's Christmas speech has become for me a sort of icon of Christ's kingship over a realm where the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And love conquers hate, and peace reigns over war. So the next time you pass my car outside the parish hall door, of course you should turn and do a little curtsy. But more importantly, be reminded that you are a citizen of a different kingdom, whose king is not of this world. Jesus Christ is King of the universe and Lord of all, and King of our hearts, And unlike the princely powers and dominions of this world, his kingdom shall have no end. Amen.